so long ago, it was still the end. They played outside in the pouring rain. On our way up the road, we started over again. You're living our dreams, oh, you on top. My mind is aching, Lord, it won't stop. That's how it's happened, living life by the drop.
And it's Sunday, September 28th, 2014, and this is Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. And as we broadcast today a little bit with a heavy heart, as one of our own has entered the clearing at the end of the path, as it were. And at times like this, it's actually pretty easy to lean on the sorrow in the moment. You can be surrounded by friends and family and still feel as though the weight and the pain has landed squarely on your shoulders alone. But even though you know in your heart that that burden is still shared. And although Marcus Aurelius once said that death smiles at us all, and all a man can do is smile back. It's as easy to know the pain as it is difficult to recall those exact smiles. How hard it is for a friend on the outside to lend support to a friend who is in that sorrow. And what do you say to be supportive when a friend mourns the loss of a loved one? Somebody you may not have known, but you know that they were very important to them. Maybe you take a second to let them know if there's anything that they need, they can count on you. Or maybe you say something about how it'll get less painful as time goes on. But how about you just keep being a friend? And that way you won't have to say a word about it. And at the same time, you'll both know that everything will work out just fine.
Talking about good things and singing the blues. You went your way and I stayed behind. We both knew it was just a matter of time. Living our dreams, oh, you on top. My mind is aching, Lord, it won't stop. That's how it happens, living life by the drop. No waste of time, we're alive today. Churning up the past, there's no easier way. Time's been between us, a man's to an end. God, it's good to be here walking together, my friend. Living a dream. My mind's still aching. That's how it happened, living life by the drop. That's how it happened, living life by the drop. That's how it happened, living life by the drop.
And then again, my friends, you also know that with it being Sunday, September 28th, 2014, this is Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
And I am Eric, and I am humbled. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. I'm Ted, and that's what friends do, my man. And there was a couple of important passings in sports this week. One, the career of one Derek Jeter. I know that we're jumping straight back into it, but man, I have to tell you that there is a cynic in me. And I'm not exactly sure. Let me pose this to you.
All right.
Okay. Sitting there the other night. I'm in front of the computer. Have absolutely no care about this Baltimore New York game.
That whole didn't mean shit.
Hashtag respect. Oh. So,
well, how about that fake GIF? Did you see that?
Which one?
Second inning, 2-2, 2-2 count on the 22nd pitch.
Oh, you
see
no.
The fake GIF that went out? Yeah,
no.
Deadspin squashed it real quick.
Okay. Well, good. See, okay, because I don't want to necessarily like jump right in their shoes on this.
Yeah,
okay?
No, it shows them standing in the batter's box and you know has the score thing, and everything was twos. Game tied 2-2, 22nd pitch, 2-2 count, Jeter at the plate. I'm like, yeah, that's not real.
We know Dr. Charles. Now, Dr. Charles is kind of a Fenway legend. He's the guy that sets up all of the stuff that we kind of, that some people think is hokey or whatever about Fenway Park, but there's a huge, huge thing that Dr. Charles has done with remembering the 04 team and bringing them out and having like a guy like Neil Diamond there just to sing Sweet Caroline. That's all Dr. Charles' fingerprints all over these Fenway moments, right? Well, Dr. Charles was there at Yankee Stadium for Jeter's last game, and he was cheering like a madman for this. Now, the two thing. Got it. how on earth is the team that won the AL East and the New York Yankees miraculously, and hey, could have been a coincidence, they land at 2-2. Now, he hits a wall ball double in the first his first at bat.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get down to the end of the game. I'm sitting there on the computer. This is like, be in my home office with me for a moment. And I'm looking at Reddit, and this thing pops up, and it says, big bold letters, and you don't really use that on, you know, on Reddit. It says...
Yeah, no shouting.
Yeah, no shouting.
No need to shout.
No shouting on Reddit. So this big, big letters, it says, Derek Jeter has a walk-off hit in his last at bat
in Yankee Stadium.
First word, what do you... What
New
was,
Yankee Stadium.
What was the house that Jeter built? What was the first word? All right, little association. Jeter gets a walk-off hit in his last at-bat ever. Word association, what's the first word that came to my mind?
Bullshit.
I was going to say the fix. I was going to say... Or 601.
Shenanigans. Shenanigans. Tomfoolery.
So,
suspect.
Highly. Wait, hold on. Respect? You mean hashtag suspect. Yeah.
There we go. Let's start that. Let's see what's trending with hashtag suspect.
Hashtag suspect. I don't believe it. And we'll change the second S to a two.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got to tell you, man, no joke. I immediately was... I was this is bullshit. This didn't happen like this.
But then again, you know, in Teddy Ball games, last game, last at bat, he hit a home run and never went to the bat again.
If you ever invoke the name of Teddy Ball game with the Yankee again, I will need
to say it. I mean, this stuff does happen.
It happens to the greats, not the OKs over 20 years.
So Derek Jeter is not a great?
Okay, the things that make Derek Jeter great. That's a good question. But let me say, I think the things that make Derek Jeter great. Stayed with one team for 20 years.
You don't say that too often.
That's pretty great.
Hey, Canerco.
There you go.
No, Gatorade's not making any commercials with him, and he was a hell of a first baseman.
He was a pretty good first baseman. Now,
probably better than Jeter was a shortstop in his last 10 years of his career.
Keith Olbermann had that.
Yeah.
He like and it's funny. People kept saying like he's eviscerating Derek Jeter and all this other stuff.
Stating facts, man.
Yeah, did you get the impression at any time during Olbermann's run that he was doing anything that he shouldn't have done as a good sports journalist?
No. He's pretty much saying what the average non-Yankee glasses wearing sports fan feels. And knows to be true.
The striking thing was 4 World Series in his first 5 years, 1 in his last 15.
Yeah, 15.
So he's
and also this is a guy that refused to move position when a much, much more talented shortstop came to the team.
What was that guy's name again?
A-Rod.
Oh, I only know him as Centaur. Yeah.
But no, he was clearly far and away a better shortstop.
Yep.
Obviously a better bat. Jeter refused to move.
See, that's the type of thing that...
Did they sacrifice a playoff berth for this Jeter happening this year, this send-off?
Well, all right, well...
It's the worst, one of the worst number two hitters in baseball this year.
Well, all right, so let me take the Jeter aspect out of the mix. What do you think of the overdone sort of like victory lap type of thing?
I don't mind that. I didn't mind it when they did with Mo. I kind of like it. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I really am. I'm glad he's playing in Fenway Park.
Uh-huh.
I like the fact that he's not playing shortstop.
Yep.
He wanted the last time he played shortstop to be in Yankee Stadium in front of his fans. That's great. There was talk of him possibly not playing in the Red Sox series, which I think would have been a huge injustice to the fans, to Fenway, and to the rivalry, and to the game of baseball. So he is playing, which is great. So I'm really looking forward to watching that and seeing what the Red Sox roll out. It's supposed to be pretty good.
Well, and you know, that's here's the other thing about Jeter. I hate the Yankees, but I like Jeter.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, we've had this conversation before.
Paul O'Neill, Bernie Williams.
Yeah.
Yep. And you brought even up
Knobloch Mullen before he started knocking women out.
Well, actually, the first people he knocked out were in the third row behind first
base. Yeah.
Tooled on them. But I've always had this kind of like, you know, I won't even call it a begrudging respect for him. The guy's a, you know, he's...
Remember, there used to be a conversation with who was better. You know, Nomar or Jeter.
Well, it was Nomar, Jeter, and A-Rod. Remember that? And like,
we didn't talk about A-Rod.
No,
he
but
wasn't. He was in Seattle, and then he was in Texas. But during that time frame, it was always, who's better, Nomar or Jeter? And it was Nomar, until Jeter dives into the stands.
Yep.
And then you actually almost see a identical type of play on the opposite side that Nomar didn't really do what Jeter did.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
Well, then the play that Jeter the with the glove scoop to get the guy out at home.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, great play. So, everybody knows that play, and that's when it started to separate. And then the whole contract issue with Nomar and him not signing that 4-year, $60 million, and that pretty much.
Well, and when he left,
yeah.
He left in 2004.
Four.
So yeah. We for know
Doug Mankiewicz and Kevin Millar.
Yeah. So I think we did pretty well with.
I think we did too. You know, still got a ring though.
Yeah. Does Mankiewicz still have that ball?
No, didn't he sell it?
Yeah, I think he didn't want to put it in his man cave, bitch.
man cave, bitch. So, that's awful.
But no, back to the Jeter thing real quick, and this is why it felt so contrived. We talked about Wainwright in the All-Star game, where he just
sat, grooving a pitch to him, last All-Star game.
Yeah.
Again, I really don't have a problem with it in an All-Star game. Really don't. I don't even have a problem with it in this, except for the fact that I guess it's the attitude of the people that don't see it for what it is. I guess that's what it is. If everybody saw it for what it was, a gift.
Yeah.
And acted as such, I think there'd be even less of a problem with it. But you're going to get the people, oh, my God, did you see that?
Oh, did you hear Susie?
Oh, no, that's Eric the mute Jada. Button. Yeah. In all my life. Of all the things I've seen, Roger Clemens is in the box
with John Steinbrenner.
John Steinbrenner. Of all the things.
There's two guys on one of the local stations
Got a little something right there, yeah, Susie. Yeah. I'm going to get a napkin.
Of all the things. There's a guy that does Sterling and her just so
yeah, no, I've heard that.
On,
yeah.
on local radio. Yep. But the whole thing about him getting grooved and then is kind of nobody cares to talk about it really. And I'm sitting.
But we will.
Because we will.
Because we do it for you.
Because we're kind of dicks like that.
Yeah, we do it for ourselves.
Yeah, we really do.
Because this is all for us. I mean, just to be clear.
Yeah, we would be doing this anyway.
The ride.
Yeah, we just figured you'd throw, yeah. You guys would want to jump on.
And from my buddy Pete says, we're actually even more hilarious while drunk.
Really?
Yeah, he listened to it. He started listening to some of the older episodes the other night when he was drinking, and he said he was.
Oh, so we're almost like the Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah,
the
more messed up you are, the more hilarious we are. I like that.
So there's your ad for go ahead and drink and listen.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Have a beer.
And if you're going to drive,
take an hour and be a better sports fan.
And if you're going to drive, don't forget your car.
Wear a seatbelt.
Yeah. But at any rate, so we go back and I see this thing from Jeter, and then I see like the respect tags and the. And I see the shirts, and I see all of this other crazy stuff that, like, surrounds it. And I have to ask, I think, like, the sort of logical question of this. Is this me being a Red Sox fan? Is this me being so cynical towards sports over the course of the last, say, decade? Like, is this, like, is it my That's problem that this above. Happened?
Well, it's all of the above, but it doesn't make it any less true.
Oh, see, and in therein lies, like, my entire point on this. How could you not, as just a person who has been part of this American culture for the last few decades, sit down and watch this thing happen? There is no more innocence in any of this stuff. This isn't Ted Williams. This isn't Babe Ruth allegedly picking his shot. This isn't Ted Williams hitting a home run in his last at bat. This was like a media and marketing machine that just roared for this last year. When Mo did it, you brought up Mo. When he went on his victory lap, I felt like he deserved it.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, goosebumps every time I saw something that was going on with Mo.
Right.
Absolutely. And then the whole Jeter and Pettit going to take him out.
Yeah.
Off the hill in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
That's real shit right there.
Like, that felt authentic, didn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And it was.
Why did this other thing, this Jeter victory lap, and not necessarily the victory lap, but this last game, and like, and why does this seem so contrived to me?
There's a very good chance. We might be way off. I'm just saying. Just saying.
Somebody must have listened to our picks.
There's a good chance that we may be totally wrong, and Jeter actually did step up and hit a decent pitch and you know, wrapped up his own little story there in Yankee Stadium. However, if you want to live in that fantasy world, by all means. However, we live in the reality of it. Go ahead and watch that pitch again. And you tell me if that was a quality pitch.
Who were they playing against?
At a quality moment. The Orioles, who had already clinched.
So did this game have any meaning?
This game meant zero to the Orioles and zero to the Yankees,
yep.
it meant everything to Jeter.
And this weekend means zero to the Red Sox.
Zero to the Yankees, everything to Jeter. And I think for the fans, too. People in Boston want to see this happen.
Well, and
people were clamoring for tickets before the season even started. When they went on sale, this was the game to buy.
This was the first game that sold out.
This was absolutely the first game that sold out. Yeah. What people wanted to see, Derek Jeter, in his last game ever in baseball in Fenway. And there's something, and you can't tell me that that wasn't by accident.
No, and I think that that actually, but things like that. Now, this is where there's a fine line, like where when the schedule makers get together and they're at their round table and they're putting their computer algorithms in to make sure everybody plays everybody. You know, there had to have been a moment where they went, "Whoa, let's have Jeter in Fenway
for his final game."
For his final game, like there's some
coming right off a Yankee series to wrap up.
Exactly. So it's not like he was in. I almost said Kansas City, like Detroit. That was a bad thing, but it's not like he was in
Kansas City. Who clinched, by the way? Good for them. Good for them. It actually gives me something to watch and root for in this postseason.
I almost want to
we haven't talked baseball since like episode 3.
We're
on episode 17. Now.
When we're out of it, there is no baseball.
That's
me.
Right.
I know baseball like the back of my hand, but it's the Red Sox for me or nothing.
Yeah.
Except for this year, because I'm going to be thinking about Brett Saberhagen and George Brett, and I really would love to see the Royals in the World Series.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the Royals in the World
Series. It could happen, but yeah, it'd be nice.
Who was your ideal going into the playoffs then, real quick? Let's divert from the Jeter morass.
Did Pittsburgh make it in?
You know what? Let's.
Sorry for our ignorance, but as he just said, we're Sox fans, so
yeah. So
you know, we've been. It's been football time for us. So, but we're gonna figure out who's in it, who's gonna be competing. If it's all the spots have been taken, if there's anything left to be decided on Sunday, because that's always a good time in the last day of the baseball season. If people are still fighting for something,
well, the Pirates are in.
Oh, good. And so I'd like to see the Pirates and the Royals playing in the World Series.
Exactly.
Tell me that wouldn't be a ratings buster.
All right. So. The Los Angeles Angels have clinched the AL West.
The Los Angeles what?
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Of Anaheim, thank you.
Sorry, yeah. Oh, that my mistake.
Get it right,
that's
Washington
right,
Redskins.
Right. The Los Angeles
Phil Sims,
Angels.
Go screw Phil Sims.
Yeah, they've clinched the AL West and home field advantage in the ALDS and the ALCS. Baltimore clinches the
Who did?
AL
what?
East.
What?
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. Baltimore clinches the AL East and home field advantage in the ALDS. Washington clinched the NL East. And home field advantage for the NLDS and the NLCS.
Oh, really?
The LA Dodgers clinched the West. And the NLDS, Detroit, Kansas City, St. Louis, Pitt, and
San Francisco's in it,
have
right?
all clinched playoffs.
So everybody's in.
Seriously, how much fun, though, for being an East Coast fan of all things, how much fun would it be watching the Giants against the Dodgers in the playoffs going at, like, after that Yasiel Puig. That was mayhem the other day.
Yeah, but I could give two shits about those two teams.
Didn't
they do this last year?
But isn't this part of what MLB wants? Doesn't MLB want us on the East Coast with no horse in the race? Don't they want us to want to pick a series that we want to see?
Yeah, but again, if you're a Red Sox fan, a knowledgeable Red Sox fan, you're drawn more to the. Like I just said, how awesome would it be, Pittsburgh and Royals?
That's what we want to see. That's
because
my ideal series.
When was the last time either one of them were in the World Series?
No, you know, and we're talking about the ghost of Roberto Clemente.
Yeah, 30, 40 years, yeah, you know, plus.
There are some teams there.
Those are legacy teams that you don't hear or see much about because their systems haven't, you know, been in very good order lately.
Sort of similar to the halcyon days of sports that we're having kind of in the last decade and a half here in New England. Pittsburgh went through that in the 70s with the Steelers and the Pirates. That whole We Are Family. But, hey, it worked for them at the time. And, you know, there were so many good Pirate teams.
Oh,
only to
the,
have
the Patriots and the Red Sox in the early 2000s.
And we happen to have four major sports franchises championship quality.
Yes, yes.
So hey,
by the way, it's hockey time.
I know.
So look forward to that, people. We will be talking hockey very, very soon.
We definitely will.
Yeah.
And with that, Eric and I are going to take a quick break. Stick around with us. We're going to be back at Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And our website at ericandted.com. And, of course, on iTunes at Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
And make sure you visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
stand on a corner, suitcase in my hand, Jack City stores to change in a vest, I'm rock and roll band, hey, riding in a Stutz bear catching. Those were different times. Those poets studied Lucifer's. Oh, the ladies, ladies, they rolled their eyes and sang. Sweet Jane, Sweet Jane, Sweet Jane. Jackie is a banker, Jane, she is a clerk. Hey, both them say their money's honey, honey, when they come home for work. Hey, sitting there, babe, by the fire, the radio just play. The march of the wooden soldiers. Hey, you can, you can, hey, you can hear Jack say you say. CJ, CJ, CJ. Some people like go out dancing. There's other people like us, baby, we gotta work. Oh, there's even some evil mother. Tell you the last made out of dirt. That pretty we never really think. Feelings always blink your eye. Children are the only ones who blood. Life, death, life is just to die. I say now, anyone who's in a head or heart won't turn around and pray. Anyone who's ever played a part won't turn or turn it round and hit it dizzy. CJ, 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 whoa, whoa, CJ, whoa, yes, CJ.
And as Eric said right before we left, is there anything ever wrong with Lou Reed? So, hey, we're back here with Eric and Ted on Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted. And we need to talk about one of the things that we did last weekend.
Yeah, we went to the Patriots-Oakland game in
Foxborough.
We went to Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
Saw a game, hadn't been there in 10 years.
Yeah, I hadn't been there in a minute.
And confirmed everything I know to be true about Patriot fans.
Well, all right. So, recap real quick. We talked about how... not entirely thrilled with Patriots fans. All right, so Eric has a deep-seated hatred toward them, of course, with ice blocks being thrown at his head. Bumbles bounce!
Bumbles bounce!
Yeah, you look like UConn Cornelius, I'm yeah. sure, getting like stuff thrown at you. But we kind of...
pea soup.
Like, nothing. So we have this kind of thing with Patriots fans where Red Sox fans are always kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, and Bruins fans are kind of just mouth breathers, but we love them.
Yeah.
But there's something about Patriots fans where they have this sense of entitlement, like, don't worry, it'll all be okay as long as Brady's there, and we'll win everything, and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Okay. Firsthand, Eric, break it down for me.
Okay. So, first off, Patriots dodged a big bullet.
Oh, my
okay.
God.
Now, Patriots are up 7 points only. About 5-6 minutes left.
Yeah, a little longer. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, a little
like six and a half or something like that. Because that's when we decided that we were going to get up. We said, you know, by the the last drive, we would, you know,
just in our defense,
take a head shot because there's a train, you know, that we wanted to catch, and we don't have a horse in this race.
Yeah,
and they were tickets for free.
And by the way, the train, absolutely the way to go to Foxborough.
Oh, absolutely.
Catch a train.
Oh, God.
Like 10
I think we got back to Warwick before some people even were able to leave the parking lot.
Yeah, I was able to be home, like sitting on the couch watching like the third quarter of the 4 o'clock games. It was pretty nice. So
we start to get up. Now, as we're getting up, I notice that there's a fairly large amount of people getting up. It's kind of puzzling. So Patriots were only up by 7 points. Just gave the ball back.
These are the same group of people, by the way, that they always make fun of Dodgers fans for showing.
Yeah, you know they make fun of fair weather fans and all that stuff. Yeah. And pot calling the kettle black for sure. So as we're making our way down, because we were way up there. But by the way, if you're not in the first row at the 50-yard line, the best seat is to be in section 300 at the top.
Looking down.
Bird's eye view. Yep. We were at the 50-yard line all the way in the top, and that's why the coaching staff is up in that booth, because you can see everything.
Yeah.
And we saw everything. It was very entertaining. But we'll get back to
it
the entertaining
fun to be a, It was fun to be a football fan.
Yeah, it was fun to be a football fan that day. So as we're making our way down, all these people leaving, and I'm watching. We could see through as you go down. You can see the game, and Oakland's driving. And they're driving.
And they looked great.
So we get down to the concourse now, which the way it's set up is they got these huge, huge jumbotrons everywhere down in the concourse.
It's actually a really remarkable stadium.
It's an awesome stadium.
Love it.
And you can actually see through this big kind of like almost field goal post like look alleyway that you could actually see the field.
Yeah.
And they're still driving. I'm talking, inside the 10-yard line. Uh-huh. They got the pass interference. All these Patriots fans are walking away. As
they had
they
that touchdown by McFadden that got called back.
Don't even get me started on that one.
Sorry.
So I start yelling. I start yelling at these people. I hadn't even had a drink in me. I start yelling at them.
That's not a lie.
Where you going? Wait, guys. Guys, the game's over there. What are you talking? You didn't win. You're about to lose.
This is not a joke. I'm standing there. Eric and I, we made our way down. And by the way, Gillette Stadium, if you're serving Dunkin' Donuts coffee, you better have
sugar. Have some freaking creamers, man. Yeah. Like, $4 coffee, and we had to drink it black? I don't think so.
I ended up drinking both of them.
Yeah, you did.
I'm a hardcore warrior.
Oh, my God.
Coffee warrior. But when we get down to this concourse area in the back, we stand around, we turn around, we're watching the game, and then we can look up, as Eric said, there's jumbotrons everywhere, so we can watch the CBS feed. And CBS is kind of a de facto sponsor of Patriot Place. They have a CBS experience stuff. So we're sitting there, we're watching.
Great place.
What an atmosphere.
Great
like, yeah. And the actual worst part of that entire stadium is the fans.
Yeah.
And one of the big things that you – and check out this when you're watching the game. The luxury box section up along the 50-yard line, it goes from like the 30 to the 30.
In the middle higher levels.
Yeah, and the right of the – yeah, like the 200
what
levels.
What are they, red seats or blue seats?
These bright red seats, right, man. And – these folks have, like, you're able to be inside and have, like, the entire buffet spread, the whole nine.
So you got a box seat and an outside
seat. And you have an outside seat. Well, they don't sit outside.
Nope.
So you just
see a big empty section.
Yeah, or, conspicuously, there's a ton of fans dressed as empty seats.
Yes.
Yeah, sitting right there. And it was bad. But we're standing down there, and Eric's going, "Where are all you people going?" He starts shouting. And normally, I would have been a little bit sheepish about this and asked him, like, can you shut up? But it was hilarious because they would walk by him on this like walk of shame, like that area at your college, right between the girls' dorm and the boys' dorm, that has that beaten path back to the girls' dorm, and you can see the girls making that walk of shame in the morning. Yeah. That's literally
and
what
some
these
guys.
Fans and some guys, and you can see like Eric was yelling, and they were putting their head down, like, "Yeah, I know, but I want to beat traffic." Like, come on,
you're only up
fans.
By seven, and they literally just drove like 80 yards on you.
Question: do you think if the Patriots were up by 34, that they would have hung on?
No, they would have left at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
All right, because see, I have this feeling that if the Patriots were just murking them, they're just going ham on them, and they were moving the ball up and down the field, I have this feeling that Patriots fans would have stayed, like, watching that score get
blown
up.
I have no faith in how the Patriots fans operate. And so some people are stopping and turning around, and then McFadden gets in the, goes and scores a touchdown. A touchdown.
I couldn't
now,
see
the play.
Hold.
The play happened in all of 2 seconds.
Yeah,
handoff right through touchdown. There wasn't enough time for anybody to hold. So when he scored that touchdown, I start yelling. I'm like, "See, I see. You guys just almost lost the game. The game's tied. They just got a touchdown." Everybody's stopping, looking at the jumbotrons. They're like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
And then there's a freaking flag. And then of course I start yelling about
Raiders.
How lucky you guys are.
Well,
I'm like, "Yeah, you guys are freaking lucky, and you guys are leaving this game."
Well, I didn't
what
know,
is wrong with you people?
I don't know if you know this, but all NFL stadiums are powered by the turbine speed of Al Davis turning in his grave. So they have to have these outrageous calls against the Raiders every week so that Al Davis's body spins in his grave and they're able to sap power from his lifeless corpse.
Speaking of Al.
Oh, my God.
There was a up in our section, there was a Raiders fan who had an Al jersey.
And his
fantastic jersey. He painted his face.
Yeah, face painted,
of
course.
Silver and black.
Because, yeah.
And he wasn't that obnoxious. But he wasn't obnoxious.
He wasn't.
There was this dude two rows in front of us. I mean, you know that guy that nobody wants to give a high five to, even the home team, and because he's that sloppy and annoying and boisterous.
You know that guy that you look at on in a stadium and you go, my God, could you imagine how miserable it must be to like for his wife to like him in the house watching a Monday night game?
Imagine
how bad it is for his mom in the kitchen upstairs.
Exactly. That's better. So this guy's doing like karate chop first downs, you know, pointing him at Al. You know, as if he's going to kick Al's ass. Trust me, he was not doing any sort of the thing.
Well, it was so bad, in fact, that Eric pulled out his handsome Galaxy Note.
Yeah, I got like 10 minutes of this footage of this drunk moron.
Why don't we splice it together and actually give people kind of an authentic experience? Let's put that on YouTube this week.
I should. All right, I mean, he's trying to give high fives to people, and they're looking at him like, just sit down. But this is another part of Patriots fans. Every time Tom Brady got sacked... I don't know if you picked up on this.
I did.
Get him out of there, I said. Get him, Garoppolo.
Where's Garoppolo?
Yeah, and I shit you not. Now, again, you know I'm a Dolphins fan. I'm not a Patriots fan. Mm-hmm. We were there just for football.
Yeah.
So I'm being antagonistic now. Can you actually believe that people were regurgitating what I was saying?
Yeah.
Did you catch that? Yeah, the people behind me actually double it. Yeah, I said it, Garoppolo. Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, God. I'm going to have to believe that. Tom
Brady as your quarterback who just got sacked. And because some Yahoo like myself yells, get him out of there, that bum, put in Garoppolo. You as a Patriots fan, jump on that bandwagon that quick. Yeah, put in Garoppolo. He's right. He's right.
And that's the thing that, like, when...
Oh, boy.
It's almost like...
That's unheard of.
I was at Fenway. I was with a friend of ours, Looney, earlier this season.
We went to a Yankee Red Sox game.
And the Bruins happened to be in the playoffs at the time. And they had won like 4-1, I guess, the playoff game. And some girl was telling me why she doesn't like Tuukka Rask. Now,
Who doesn't like Tuukka Rask?
This woman was talking to me about how she doesn't like Tuukka Rask and they should trade him and get rid of him. And I'm talking to her, and I'm trying to give some validity to what she's saying. I'm like, well, explain to me what you don't like. Now, if she had said...
Does she not like his face?
Wait, hold on. If she had said...
He comes out of the net too much.
In the third period, if he doesn't have enough shots, he has a tendency to get sloppy and come out of the net. Great reason. That can be coached out of a kid.
Takes too many chances in that aspect.
Or he doesn't take any chances. Because now her thing was, I like Tim Thomas.
By the way, this is the gentleman that was voted by all the players in the National League, a month ago, the number one franchise goalie in the league.
Yeah, and we
by
have
his peers.
And we have this stable of goalies in the Providence system.
Yeah, we have some good ones.
And P.K. Subban's brother is one of them.
Yeah.
And they are never going to get any playing time because Rask is... He's otherworldly, and he's at the prime of his career.
And we thought Rask was going to have that issue when we had Timmy Thomas here, and then he started to get political, and saw how that did.
Yeah,
but when he would spell Thomas, that's when you saw what this guy
was flashes of brilliance. Yeah,
and we're like, we got something there.
Yeah,
and he is the best goalie in the NHL.
Yeah, and we're so fortunate to have him.
Absolutely.
As a backstop on a team that only wants to win games 1-2-0.
This woman's talking about I don't like him.
And I couldn't get a reason, but
like, do I label women that way?
No,
just this crazy woman?
Because
I know a lot of women hockey fans that are extremely knowledgeable, and my mother is one of them. She's been a Bruins fan for the last 40 years.
Yeah,
had him on Vine.
Yeah, this is. I liked the Bruins before it was cool.
Yeah,
but not like seriously. Like that's the thing. Like this is not about women. Like I don't want to say something like it's like saying something racist and go, nah, I got a black friend.
Yeah,
it's
but
okay.
Yeah, my best friend's black sometimes.
But Jackie McMullen. Oh, she's a female.
This is the woman you're talking about?
No, of course not. Jackie McMullen is probably the best sports writer in the country.
Very well respected.
And her gender plays no role in her ability to.
Absolutely not. I'm actually surprised she doesn't have more of a role.
You know, she could, and there's so many good female, like my wife is a baseball fan, and so she knows a ton about baseball. We have, the Providence Housewife in our fantasy league is so knowledgeable about baseball. She's a great baseball fan. And so you
baseball
have
mom.
These people. Yeah, like you have these people that gender plays no role in it. This was just happened to be a woman who said this, but this feeling that for some reason in Boston, if you are not immediately gratifying people with title after title after title after championship, then we got to get rid of them.
And that's what I was kind of doing, tongue-in-cheek at the game. You know, it's like, you know, and
Tom
people
Brady
were
is a
reiterating
once,
it.
He's a once-in-a-generation
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's still
and
great.
And you're yelling about Garoppolo? Hey. You should be ashamed of yourself.
See, and that's that thing about
Patriots. I was shocked when I heard it. I was like, did she really just repeat what I said?
Yeah. You are for the other team.
I think I'm going to shut up now.
But, so it's kind of one of those things that, like, it's maybe the blessing of – it's almost like a, you see a band, right, when they're first starting out. And you see them at this club, and it's awesome. And then
baby head.
Like 6 months later, 8 months later, they're kind of a little bit bigger. So you see them at like, you know, P-Pack or something. It's not as good, but it's still pretty good. And you realize the further and further you get away from the stage and the bigger and bigger that they get, the more this band actually probably sucks. And
yeah, I saw the Roots at, what was, it was Lupo's at the time.
Yeah. One of the best shows of your life.
Back in, I'd say 98.
Sure. One of the best shows of your life.
Unbelievable. And by the way, they were the opener.
Yeah.
They were the opener for Macy Gray and then Everlast.
My God.
Everlast.
Forever Everlasting.
Yes. So Everlast was a headliner and the Roots blew me away. I'd never heard them before.
Yep.
And I was floored. And you know Lupo's. It was a very, very small venue.
Yep.
You know, that's before it was Lupo's at the Strand or whatever they call it now. Mm-hmm. This was Lupo's. Yeah, it's just, I mean, you can't really apply it to the Roots because they're great no matter where they are. But it's just one of those things that you could say, nah, I saw them before everybody thought they were, before Jimmy Fallon thought they were cool.
For me, that band was, for me, that band, funny enough, right around the same time, for a little bit earlier maybe, was the Spin Doctors. I saw them at the campus club, a little tiny club. They were unbelievable. Then I saw them at like Rocky Point Palladium. They were, they were all right.
This can't be wrong.
And, yeah, and then I see them at this giant place, and I'm like, boy, this band sucks.
Yeah, they need to get rid of those hats.
And that's that kind of thing that we're feeling with, like, that I'm feeling a lot with New England sports fans. Like, we have this like run of success and then nothing's good enough until it's a duck boat parade.
We just won the World Series last year.
And there are people...
And people were, when it was happening, because then people tuned out just like we did, mm-hmm. when it was happening, were beside themselves how disgusting this is and yada yada. We just won the World Series when we probably shouldn't have.
I give you that question constantly.
I mean, and we had great pitching and our bats weren't hitting. Hey, it freaking happens. Yep. We just won the World Series. Relax.
Okay, and then I'm going to maybe lay off on this segment with one last question. And the Pirates, the Royals, we've just talked about them. The baseball gods come down to you and they say to you, listen, we're going to give you a World Series championship. But the years that bookend it, you're going to be the worst
the year
team in baseball.
The year after, you'll be in the basement.
Do
I'll
you
take
want
it.
That World Series championship?
Absolutely.
Absolutely you do. And so Eric and I are going to take a quick short break. We're going to drop some Everlast on you because he's got the knack and Eric brought him up. I couldn't help it. And Eric and Ted on Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social will be back in just a couple of minutes. And we want to give you our NFL picks for this week.
Take it to the bank. You definitely got me on that one, Ted.
Yeah, I know I did.
I thought maybe we'd talk about two different people, but apparently this was before Everlast was House of Pain and Everlast again. Apparently it was Everlast Everlasting.
Correct. He was Forever Everlasting. This song is called I Got the Knack.
Yeah, now, he has the knack.
Yeah. That's
and just a heart attack at the age of 25 or something like that.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
I had
that's
no
why
idea.
He calmed down, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
So mercifully, we're going to let you die on that one, Everlast, because that should have never heard the light of day begin with.
No.
Now, Eric, I know you forgot. It's been a tumultuous weekend for Eric, so we're going to kind of give him a little bit of leeway on this one. He forgot our picks from last week.
Yeah, they're in my bag. Yeah.
It's all right, but we had we had a specialist.
I had all the winners, pretty much.
That's bullshit. But don't worry, we'll go back over them. You know, if we can get a midweek extra. But we had Skippy with us, Skippy the Greek. And who is the furthest thing in the world from a Greek dude?
It's kind of like Kevin Youkilis.
Yeah.
Greek Gottawalks. He's not Greek.
No. He's actually Jewish, and yes. He's quite a good baseball player anyway.
Shalom.
Yeah. Shalom, Kevin. Shalom. Cincinnati, as far as I'm concerned, Cincinnati has never produced a finer thing than Kevin Youkilis. Go ahead.
Really?
Yeah. Well, give me
Pete
give me,
Rose?
Pete Rose. He's not from Cincinnati.
They adopted him.
Well, okay, fine. They adopted him. But then he gambled on baseball, and he's not able to go back.
He should.
Marge Schott has
it's
better.
Been an hour talk about Pete Rose.
Oh, my God. I love Pete Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now.
Jolly Hustle.
Kevin Youkilis.
And his name wasn't Jolly.
Dun, dun, dun. See, we have more conspiracies here. Yeah. Hashtag, it's not Charlie. So we have this week's picks, and we both picked the Giants.
we both picked the Giants to throttle Washington. That was a bold call, but.
It's a lie.
But we came up with that one real nice.
Yeah, so hey, we're going to go over the picks one by one right now. I'm going to throw this first one at Eric, and I think that this is one of the most challenging ones to pick for the week.
I'm going to go with what I want to see.
Versus, is this going to be your week of like what I hope for?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going for Chicago over Green Bay.
All right, so Eric has Chicago beating Green Bay.
They're playing in Chicago, and that would put Green Bay at 1-3.
All right, so E equals C, and...
Go ahead. You know you want to.
I got to take Chicago.
You want to see Aaron Rodgers lose.
Yeah, I got to take Chicago. So
actually, no, I want to see the Packers fans suffer.
You know, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers told them all to freaking relax. They're only 1-2. Like,
but
relax.
The last 2 years, they started the season 1-2, and they've made the playoffs both years. Yeah. So
they'll be all right, but I want to see him lose this game.
I actually really kind of do like I see interviews with who's the guy with no
Hans
chin?
And Franz?
Jay Cutler. I actually like Jay Cutler for some totally inexplicable reason.
His hot wife.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been on the league.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Like maybe that kind of like everyman type of thing. And he went to Vandy.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know. He was a Commodore.
Yeah.
So all right. So Eric has Green Bay.
No. I have Chicago.
I know. E and T both have Chicago. All right, Tennessee at Indianapolis. We
I believe we both
skip.
Have. Yeah, we both have Tennessee in that one.
Okay. Now,
no, that's a joke.
Our third game here. Now, this might be kind of a cause for controversy here. So, I want to talk to you about this as we get into this. I'm separating myself from your love of the Dolphins. It's the Dolphins at Oakland. I'm going to automatically assume that you're going Dolphins. Because you are. After what I saw last week.
Do you think that was more of the Oakland playing well or the Patriots playing awful? Because I saw it as the Patriots playing awful.
Well, even if that's 50-50, even if Oakland played well and the
Oakland
Patriots
could have won that game, and I'm not talking about just on that last
no,
drive.
No, very easily.
There was huge parts in that game, wide open passes were missed. A couple of defensive plays. Oakland could have won that game. I have no faith in their talent. I think they should be feeding McFadden the ball way more often than they do.
He was a little dinged up, but they have that whole
stable of
backs.
I think he's a better runner than what they're giving.
Well, and Maurice Jones-Drew is playing this week, from what I understand. And I know, well, fine. But I don't think they're winless right now. And I don't think Oakland is losing all of their games.
No, but they'll lose against Miami.
I'm going to go Oakland on this one.
Nah, I'm picking Miami to pull even at 2-2.
All right, so
Miami's too good. Did you hear about Tannehill's thumb issue?
Oh, that it's a toe?
Yeah. There's a word for it. It's too big of a word for me to remember. But it's where Megan Fox has it. It's where your thumb is like a toe.
And imagine with all of the surgery she has, she couldn't have just thumbed up.
No, and they actually like should deadspin it.
I know they broke it down.
They broke it down. They would show a picture. Maybe it's the angle, and then they show another picture.
Nope,
not the angle. Well, maybe it's because of this. Let's do another one. And they just kept zooming in on these different. And the last one is just him with his hand on his football, just his thumb. And you're like, maybe that's why he's not as accurate as he should be.
Maybe that's why he grips the ball so damn well. That guy throws a nice deep ball. All right, so. Detroit at New York.
Only had somebody to catch it. You picked Oakland.
I am picking Oakland this week. I just don't think they're going to go winless, and I apologize. But
no, you don't.
Nah, you're right. I don't. That was such a thin apology.
Detroit at the Jets.
No question.
Detroit.
For me. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Like, and again, this maybe it has something to do with the fact that I don't like the Jets and that I really
think
Detroit. It'd
be really tough for us to pick the Jets over any team other than maybe an Oakland or a Tennessee.
Or maybe they might split with the Patriots this year, that kind of thing. But
just because.
We'll see.
So we both got Detroit, Tampa Bay at Pittsburgh. I believe we both got Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I think that Tampa Bay is they have Martin coming back. They have Doug Martin coming back. They're showing some signs of life.
They still have Vincent Jackson if you would just throw him the freaking ball.
I know. That's the thing. They have some signs of life. Like, you see their defense starting to turn it on a little bit. Like, they're getting some turnovers. They just don't have it this week to take out Big Ben.
Nope. Big Ben's going to score big, and he'll be on my bench.
You know it. All right. So, this is a really difficult one,
this is a tough one to pick.
Carolina at Baltimore.
Houston's playing pretty damn good. They're undefeated, 3-0.
Carolina at Baltimore first.
Over that one. Yeah.
So there's a couple of
That's not that pick hard for me. I'm picking Carolina.
Baltimore, they've won a couple of those Baltimore tight sucks. Games, man.
Baltimore to me is like the Jets. I really have a hard time picking them.
I do too, but last week they were able to come from behind and win. They were able to put up a ton of points against Pittsburgh in that game that they had.
Yeah, that was the one we got wrong.
Yeah, we got that one wrong. Bad. Yeah. We actually got, I got last week's wrong, I think, too, because I thought I picked Cleveland in that one, but... who do you're going straight up with Carolina?
Yeah.
This is really tough for me. I'd almost like to take a push on this
one.
Isn't
that the Steve Smith? Isn't Steve Smith on Baltimore?
He is. So, no. Steve Smith's on Baltimore now.
Yeah.
That's the type of thing that I'm talking about. Like Steve
see,
Smith.
That in itself, I mean, I could see Steve Smith having a huge game there.
I'm going to take Baltimore, man.
I got to go with Carolina. I just hate Baltimore too much.
Yeah, don't backstream your pick.
Yeah. I just hate Baltimore too much.
He has Carolina. All right, so now is that game that you jumped up to?
Yeah, Buffalo-Houston. Buffalo obviously been playing pretty decent.
They have.
Right? They beat my Dolphins pretty handily.
Are they playing above their head right now?
I think they are. I think they are. I think they're playing a little above themselves, but I think they continue to do that for now. But Houston's been kind of a pleasant surprise there.
The Billy South. O'Brien, man, I'm telling you.
I believe they are undefeated, right? 3-0, I believe.
I believe they are
3-0.
Billy O'Brien's got this team thinking right.
I just don't have enough faith in them. I'm looking for a little bit of an upset with Buffalo coming over Houston.
All right, I'm going to actually take Houston because I think, as I said, Bill O'Brien, definitely the guy who's taken this team and franchise in the right direction.
All right,
Jacksonville, San Diego. I don't even think
Diego.
We need to bother with that. So we have both. All right, then we have Atlanta at Minnesota.
Atlanta.
So we have both.
Philly at San Fran.
Dude, this is such a hard game. Where last week was the famine, this is the feast. Last week, those games just sucked across the board. Remember how bad they were?
Yeah.
This one, I'm sitting here right now, I'm looking at four or five really, really good games. Philly go into the new Levi Stadium and tune up?
I don't see it happening.
Can the Eagles put together a complete game? They've had halves of games where they've been exceptionally good. And then the other half of the game, they're exceptionally bad, and they can't put it together.
Yeah, I don't think you can take too much stock in that Washington game. Their defense is awful.
Clearly. You know what, San Francisco?
Yeah,
man.
I'm going with San Fran as well.
Right. So, both are there.
New Orleans at your Dallas Cowboys for the Sunday night game.
New Orleans in a walk. Yeah,
see, Dallas kind of surprised me last week.
With the balls they had to come back?
Yeah. But I found that a little shocking.
Do you think, given...
Something like you would have seen 3 years ago, you know what I mean?
A decade ago.
No, even a few years back.
Now, do you think that with what the Rams were able to put up, they were able to hang a ton of points in the
Orleans
Cowboys?
And New Orleans did not have a good game last week.
But that's why I'm thinking at the same time...
points or something?
At Dez Bryant's thing this week, he actually came out and said, if they double cover me, DeMarco Murray's going for 200 yards.
I'm going with Dallas.
Are you going to go Dallas?
I'm going Dallas.
All right, man. I'm going to go.
Picking your boys.
I'm going against Dallas, so we'll put you there. I will be rooting for them,
of course,
but I just don't see them winning.
Yeah, no, I got some upsets there, and I'm going to follow that with another one.
Speaking of upset, there's a golden rule in gambling, which I shouldn't even be talking about
in any way.
This one take the under with the way these teams have been playing.
Right.
this golden rule in gambling: always bet the home dog.
Which is actually why I'm leaning towards Dallas, is because they're playing at home.
Well, going right into Monday night on this one, Kansas City is getting points. The Patriots are favored by 3 over the Chiefs. That is a remarkably difficult place to play.
I would take Chiefs and the points all day. I'm taking Chiefs straight up anyway.
You're taking Chiefs outright,
I'm taking
right,
Chiefs to beat New England on Monday night. Now, I could get totally burned by this. We've seen, I've talked about how much, you know, respect the coaching staff and what they have mm-hmm. out there. Mm-hmm. And the awful game that they played against Oakland and how they almost lost that game. Yep. I could definitely see them coming back and blowing the doors off of it, and scoring, 30, 40 points. However, I just want to pick the upset. I want to see Kansas City win on Monday night at home and take the Patriots down a peg.
Now, I think that one of the things that we talk about a little bit with...
And that's why I'm also picking Buffalo. I'd like to see Buffalo be sole possession of first place.
Okay. Now, we've seen Patriots teams able to score 50 points a game and not win the Super Bowl. And one of the things that I know firsthand is that winning with a team is a process. The Patriots are fortunate right now to be 2-1.
That they've been in a decade, almost a decade and a half long process.
Yeah, and their process has been winning. But when you break it down and you go back to an individual season, it is a process. And you build on your successes. If you remember a few years ago when the Baltimore Ravens won their first Super Bowl, the year before, they were pretty awful, but they ran the table in their last four or five games.
Yeah, and snuck into the playoffs.
And see, that's the type of thing that like...
That was the year they beat the Patriots, right? I believe I was in St. Thomas. They beat the Patriots.
Yeah, was it
in
when
the
they just racked
game?
Them up?
Yeah, it was like embarrassing. It yeah. wasn't even close.
And so that's why I kind of think that the Patriots are sort of building on...
Now, like that's my idea of a vacation. I was in St. Thomas, and I'm watching on a Sunday afternoon on my vacation. I'm watching the TV in the hotel, watching the playoff game.
What else would you want to watch?
yeah. What else would I want to be doing on a tropical island?
Right. So, what I think, I think that the Patriots are actually building on something. And as much as I kind of like beating up on their team a little bit,
it's our national pastime.
It is. I'm going to go with the Patriots on this one.
Okay.
And I think the Patriots win by 6.
I can't really argue with it. I would just like to see a nice, good showing from Kansas City on Monday night.
As I would.
As Cincinnati, Cleveland, Denver, St. Louis, Arizona, and Seattle all enter the byes, first set of byes.
Exactly.
So everybody check your fantasy lineup.
Yep.
Make sure that you don't leave any bye people out there.
Hit the waiver wire hard this week.
Hit the waiver wire. Antonio Gates is a must start.
He always is, and he's always on
for last weekend. Jesus Christ!
And
comes off with scoring 3 freaking touchdowns. Everybody tells me I should bench him. He scores 3 touchdowns. I'm like, yeah, buddy. And then he starts next week and gets 1 point. Thank you.
Well, on behalf, and that's a good way to it's a good way to close this out. On behalf,
thanks, Antonio Gates.
On behalf of Eric, I am Ted, and this has been.
And on behalf of Ted, I am Eric,
and this has been Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
It has,
my friends. Make sure that you hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS,
and our website ericandted.com,
facebook.com/Eric and Ted,
iTunes Eric and Ted Ice Cream Social. I got my Glock cock, cause niggas won't be. No sooner as I said it, seems I got sweated by some nigga with a Tech 9 trying to take mine. You wanna make noise, make noise. I make a phone call, my niggas coming like the Gotti boys. Bodies being found on Greenleaf with the fucking heads cut off. Motherfucker, I'm straight, so listen to the play-by-play, day-by-day. Rolling in my phone with 16 switches and got sounds for the bitches. And all the riches, got the hollow points for the snitches. So won't you just walk on by, cause I'm too hard to lift. And no, this ain't Aerosmith, it's the motherfucking DRE. From the CPT, on the rhyming spree, a straight G. How back is I pop my top, you trip. I let the hollow points commence to pop, 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 yeah. Cause if it don't stop, I have to put my shit in reverse. Go back and take another spot, cause I'm rolling down the motherfucking back streets with my drink in my cup and my strap in my lap. See, ain't nothing but the G-Funk pumping in my dream film. Hey, whatever you can say. Yeah.
just another motherfucking day for Dre. So I begin like this. No medallions, dreadlocks, or black fists. It's just that gangster glare with gangster raps. That gangster shit makes the gangs of snacks. Words to the motherfucking streets. And words to these hot ass lyrics that don't beats. That I hit your whip, that I get your whip as I groove in my phone on D's. Hitting the switches, bitches relax while I get my proper swerve on. Bumping like a motherfucker, ready to get my serve on. Before I hit the dope spot, gotta get the chronic, the Remy Martin and my soda pop. Now I'm smelling like Indonesia. Bus stop full of fly bitches and skeezers. On my dick, cause my phone won't hit. Pancake running back, side to side and all that shit. So when I call, I comes correct. Now if your bitch in my shit, it's your bitch in shit, nigga. Then let the Chevrolet slide as I dip and make a trip to the south side, yeah.
Right back up in you with the D-R-E. What an ounce as we bounce through the CPT. Diamond in the back, Dana's on the wheels, this is strictly...